Hi, my name is Bob Sjogren, and I want to talk to you about heaven and what it's going to be like. What is it going to be like? You know, I've been studying about heaven, and I found out that I had a lot of misconceptions. There were a lot of things about heaven that I just did not understand, and as a result, quite honestly, I just wasn't looking very forward to going to it. But that's what we're going to be talking about. I've been studying about it in our fourth year of high school Bible curriculum. So let's jump into it. Heaven, what's it going to be like? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says these words. For me, to live is Christ and to die is, do you know what those last word is, those last four letters? That's right, gain. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But do you know that most Christians don't believe that? Most Christians don't believe that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Here's what they believe. To live is Christ, to die is second best. But at least you're not going to hell. Look on the bright side. Why is that? How do we know that? Well, we know this because if you go to any adult Sunday school class or listen to the church prayer requests, what are they? Well, you'll find out that the majority of them are by far medical reports. So-and-so broke their arm. So-and-so is in the hospital with cancer. So-and-so is struggling with leukemia. So-and-so has got a depression. And their majority of them are medical reports. Now, none of these prayer requests are wrong. But what are they non-verbally communicating? They're communicating, I don't want to die. Why? Well, if I die, I don't know, I go to heaven and it's a 24-hour worship service. I'm floating on a cloud in spirit form. I don't know, maybe playing a harp. Gag me with a spoon. Look, I've got Amazon Prime. I can get anything I want within 2 days and really within 2 hours with Amazon Now. I love surfing the internet. I love buying things. Heaven, it just kind of sounds boring. And so without realizing it, hell is down here. Heaven and earth are up above, but earth is higher than heaven. Heaven is a step down from earth. And as a result, Christians and humans cling to their time here on earth because they have no idea what heaven is like. And without realizing it, we make assumptions about heaven that are wrong. Let me go over two of them with you that I was wrong. I thought about it, but I was wrong. First one is this: heaven is boring. Heaven is boring. If we believe that heaven is boring, you know what? It means we believe that God is boring. And with God, boredom is impossible. We'll never begin to exhaust God's sense of humor and his love for adventure. The God who created us to do good works in Ephesians 2:10 will not cancel this purpose when he resurrects us to inhabit the new earth. We will still have good works to do for all eternity. Heaven is going to be anything but boring. Secondly, heaven is very unearthly. In other words, it's not like the earth. It's spiritual. It's something that I can't really describe. Well, no. Heaven, the place where God dwells, was always designed to be on the earth. God was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And with Adam and Eve, God was there. That was heaven. The phrase heaven on earth comes from there and from Revelation 21:1. Also, heaven has a tree of life in Revelation 22:2. A tree is a physical plant on a physical earth. Heaven will be physical. Now, most Christians can't believe that heaven will be on earth because they can only see the present earth, which is under a temporary sin and curse. Listen, once that curse is taken away, heaven will be unbelievably awesome. It is so cool once you understand it. So why do we have this problem with understanding heaven and having all these wrong ideas about heaven? Well, there's a verse in Revelation chapter 13, verse 6 that says these words. It, meaning Satan, Satan opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. And his dwelling place. What's his dwelling place? Well, heaven is where he dwells. Right. So if Satan can get you and I to think poorly about heaven, we're probably not going to want to go there. In other words, if heaven is seen as boring, unimaginable, an unearthly existence, well then, why would we want to share the good news that people can spend eternity in a boring, ghostly place that even we're not looking forward to? We wouldn't. So Satan tries as hard as he can to get us to think that heaven is a boring place. Well, yeah, but heaven's unimaginable, you say. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. See right there. It's unimaginable. So why even try to think about it? Well, yes, and yet also no. You've got to look at the very next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. What does it continue to say? These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. There are things God has revealed? Yes. It's not that we don't know enough about heaven. It's about the fact that we haven't studied what we have. So we're going to do a quick study and find out what the scriptures tell us about heaven. In Colossians 3:1, we're told, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Those words, set your hearts, mean a diligent, active, single-minded investigation. Set your hearts on things above. We're supposed to be diligently, single-mindedly, actively investigating heaven. That's what God wants for us. That's what we're going to do. So what has God revealed about it? Well, one of the first things he's revealed is that the present heaven is not the permanent heaven. In other words, the heaven where people are today, where my grandparents, great-grandparents are today, is not the permanent heaven. It's a temporary heaven. How do we know that? Revelation 21:1 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The heaven that's there now is temporary. There's going to be a new heaven created. That's why it says in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent fear, and both earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Earth is going to be burned up. As the earth is going to be burned up, there's going to be a new earth, so is there going to be a new heavens. Well, what else does God reveal? Well, if you studied Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31, Lazarus and the rich man, you find a couple of things. First off, there is a fixed chasm between heaven and hell. Now, Catholics and Muslims think like this. Oh, well, you go to hell for a while, burn off your sins, and then you get to go to heaven. No, in Christianity, it's fixed. You cannot get between heaven or between hell. Secondly, in heaven, we can reason and communicate. We'll be thinking. We'll be able to talk. Third, we'll maintain distinct identities. Who you are today is going to be who you are for all of eternity, and you're going to love it. The way you look, the way you talk, your various aspects of you, who makes you you is going to be who you're going to be for all eternity. We'll have distinct identities, and we're going to maintain them in heaven, and we'll be physical beings. We're not going to be spirits floating on clouds playing some kind of a harp. We'll be physical beings. We'll have bodies. We'll have blood. We'll have cells. We'll have muscles, we'll have bones, we're going to be physical beings. And we'll have a clear memory of things on earth. We won't be forgetful about, I don't know where I came from, but you know, I'm glad I'm here. No, we're going to remember things on the earth. What else has God revealed? In Romans 6, 9 to 11, we will be emotional and can raise our voices. Did you know that you can raise your voice in heaven? Yeah. That's what Revelation 6 tells us. Those who were martyred cried out to God, Lord, how long? They cried out. They raised their voices. We can be emotional and raise our voices. We'll be aware of each other and of the situation on earth. Randy Alcorn, in his book Heaven, where the majority of this comes from, gives you the idea that your great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents know of what you're going through right now and are praying for you and interceding for you. We'll be aware of each other and the situation on earth. And we can ask God questions. Now, it's pretty cool. I have got personally a ton of questions I keep saving up for God, such as, Lord, when you run water over my hands when I go to the dishes, why is it that like I have to go to the bathroom? That's just really weird. Why did God design us that way? There's a ton of questions that I've got for God. We can ask God questions. Because of that, there's going to be learning in heaven. We will be learning in heaven. I can imagine Moses giving seminars on the Pentateuch, on the first five books of the Bible, why he wrote them. He's the most qualified. There's going to be learning in heaven, and we'll have a concern for justice in heaven. Also, there's going to be time in heaven. Heaven is not one static state of zzz, and we're like that for all of eternity. No, there is time in heaven. Also, we'll have a strong connection with those on earth. That emotional connection will be there. That's why, again, your great-grandparents may be praying for you right now. And finally, God knows to the last detail what is still happening on earth. So that is what we learn about the heaven that's going on right now. What else has God revealed? Well, in Hebrews 11:10, it says, He, speaking about Moses, for he was looking forward to the city, meaning heaven, with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So when Moses was taken into Pharaoh's house and raised as a child of the Pharaoh, he could have just stayed as the Pharaoh's child, but he chose not to. Why? Because he was looking forward to heaven. He had his eyes set upon heaven, not on this earth. But when he referenced heaven, he called it a city. Why would he reference heaven as a city? Well, probably because it's like a city. And so he makes the analogy. Heaven is like a city. Well, what do cities have? Cities have what? Anybody want to tell me? Yes, buildings. What else? Yes, roads. Yes, goods, sales, services. Yes, cities have buildings, roads, culture, art, music, theaters, athletics, goods, services. Buildings and cities have all these things. Well, that's exactly what heaven is going to have. All of these things will be in the new heaven. Buildings, roads, culture, art, music, theaters, athletic goods and services. All of the good things with none of the bad. That's what heaven is going to be like. What else has God revealed? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we will not all be the same in heaven. When the Corinthians asked Paul, hey, what are our bodies going to be like in heaven? Paul said, hey, you know, good question. Some of us are going to shine like the sun. Some of us are going to shine like the moon. And some of us will shine like stars. What? There are going to be differences? Yes, that's right. There will be differences. Some of us will shine like the moon. Some of us will shine like the sun. Some of us will shine like stars. There are differences. What else has God revealed? Well, in Revelation 21:27, we realize that nothing impure will ever enter it or heaven. Nothing impure will ever enter into heaven. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful, deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know what this means? If nothing impure is going to enter it, it means there will be no more tempter and no more old nature inside of you. No tempter, no Satan, no demons. They won't be there to tempt you, nor will your old nature be there. That means you will no longer struggle with temptations. Can you imagine? Zero temptations to do wrong. We won't even want to do wrong. We won't even want to do wrong. There will be zero struggle with temptations. You will no longer have to deal with the sin of others. Because they won't be sinning. Therefore, you won't have to deal with the sin of others. Every word spoken to you will be encouraging. Can you imagine that? Every word spoken is going to be encouraging. And every word you say to others will encourage them. So you'll constantly be building others up. That means people will want to get to know you and spend time with you. Why? Because you'll always be encouraging. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me tremendously. To be in a place where there's no temptation, don't have to deal with the sin of other people, every word spoken is encouraging, every deed done is encouraging. This is going to be fantastic. What else has God revealed? There's going to be animals in heaven. Listen what it says about Christ. It says, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Oh, there's a horse at least in heaven. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, meaning Jesus, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So there is a white horse in heaven. Isaiah 65, 25, we assume it's referencing heaven. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The wolf and the lamb. Wolves usually attack lambs, but not here. They're going to graze together and be eating side by side. They're going to be buddies. They're going to be friends. Why? That curse that's on this earth, there's a curse on the earth that happened in Genesis, that'll be gone. And with that gone, everything will be at peace. The wolf and the lamb are going to graze together. The lion that usually eats meat is going to eat straw like the ox. He won't be going around attacking people or attacking other animals. No, there will be peace. The lion, the wolf, the lamb, there'll be animals in heaven, and there's no higher order of who eats who, you know, the food chain. They're all at peace. What else has God revealed? Well, in Revelation 22:3, we read these words. No longer will there be any curse. That's what we were talking about, the curse that's on the earth right now. No longer will there be any curse. Christ paid the penalty for that. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will what? Serve him. That's right, serve him. You know what that means? We're going to have jobs. Oh, no, not jobs. I hate jobs. I hate doing work. Well, that's not going to be the way it is in heaven. When you get up in the morning and you want to, assuming we sleep, when you get up and you want to go to work, you're going to say, I can't wait to get to work. I can't wait to do this job. I can't wait to be around my coworkers. They are so encouraging. They so build me up. They are such a bright light. They're always smiling. This is wonderful. I can't wait to go to work. We're going to serve Christ. Remember, the good deeds he had planned for us does not stop in the new heavens, in the new earth. He'll continue that. That's a continuancy factor. He's still bringing that on. What will we be doing in these jobs? Well, Revelation 5:10 says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Reign on the earth, ruling and reigning. What does that mean? Well, it means that somehow we're going to be ruling and reigning. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. We're going to reign with Christ. Revelation 3:21. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Sit with me on my throne. What do you do from a throne? You rule and you reign. In order to rule and reign, you have to have subjects to rule over. You have to have area to rule over, property, physical property to rule over. Christ says, yep, if you do well on the earth, you'll sit with me on my throne. Romans 8:16 says these words, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Co-heirs with Christ. Those are the key words. Co-heirs. What's a co-heir? Well, a co-heir means whatever the one person inherits, the other inherits as well. So what does that mean? It means that whatever Christ is going to inherit, we're going to inherit. So what does Christ inherit? Hebrews 1:1-2 says these words. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of what? All things, and through whom also he made the universe. Whom he appointed heir of all things. Let me ask you this question. What are all things? Someone tell me what all things are. Yep, you can't use the word all things to describe all things. What are some of the things that are included in all things? Trees, grass, clouds, buildings, the chair you're sitting in, the clothes you've got on your back. Yeah, All those things are things he inherits, but think a little bit bigger. What about the earth? He'll inherit the earth. What about Mercury, Venus, and Mars? Will he get those? Yep, he's going to get those. What about our whole solar system? Yes. What about the Milky Way galaxy? Yes. What about the universe? Yes. Christ inherits all things. Christ inherits the universe. And because we are co-heirs, guess what happens? We inherit the universe. For what purpose? To rule and to reign over it. To rule and to reign over it. We inherit the universe to rule and to reign over. God's ultimate plan for us in heaven is to rule and reign in the universe. This is unbelievable. Well, you might ask, who are we going to be ruling over? Well, Paul says, do you not know that we will judge angels? Really? Paul seems to be saying, duh, this is kind of a no-brainer. Don't you know that we're going to be judging the angels? What will be our domain in this universe that we'll be ruling and reigning over? Well, in Luke, Jesus says, makes a parable and says, well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in very small matters, take charge of what? 10 cities. We're going to be ruling over cities. It looks like multiple cities, possibly 10 cities. Later he goes on, do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? Not only cities, some people may be judging planets in the universe. Really? That's what the text seems to indicate. God has a family business of ruling and reigning, and he wants us to be a part of it. He wants us to rule and to reign and to govern the universe. All of these verses mean that there are differing levels of authority. There are differing levels of authority. We're not all going to be equal. Remember that. Some of us will be over people. Some of us will be under people. Some of us will have people under us and some over us. There are different levels of authority. How are these different levels determined? Well, it's based on how trustworthy or how faithful you are. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Must prove faithful. In Luke 19, we hear these words. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Listen. If you're trustworthy with God and his principles here on this earth, God will reward you by having you rule and reign with him throughout eternity. Faithfulness, trustworthiness here on this earth, ruling and reigning throughout eternity. Well, let's wrap this up. In conclusion, listen to these words. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. God is in the business of making things new. Isn't that beautiful? He's in the business of making things new. Now, this is in Revelation 21, verse 5. In Revelation 21, 1, we see a new heavens and a new earth that are already created. The heavens come to the earth. It's heaven on earth. And so this is even after that. After it, so note the context, this was said after the new heavens and the new earth are created. So what does that mean? Even in heaven, God will be making all things new. Do you realize what that means? This could mean that the job you'll love to do the most hasn't even been created. The hobby you'll like to do the most hasn't even been created. The sport you enjoy the most hasn't even been created. The technology you delight in the most hasn't even been created. And the mode of travel you will use hasn't even been created. And the parts of the universe you'll explore will always be brand new. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's gain. God has so many things in store for us. Heaven is so totally cool. I hope you can't wait to get there. Okay, Rutherfordian, I want you to do me a favor. Name one thing you learned.